This is the Hollywood Outsider, weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have a new episode every Thursday. This is episode 156, and this week we are discussing upcoming releases, including Dolphin Tale 2 and No Good Deed. Spoiler-free review of Falcon Rising. The From the Outside In topic this week is we're going to look at fall TV. Some of the shows we're looking forward to, returning shows that we're looking at, as well as shows we wish would not come back. We're going to have the latest in movie and TV news, including our own trivia segment. My name is Aaron Peterson, and with me today are my fellow hosts, Scott Clark.
I'm sorry, I was paying attention to my Facebook page. There's this awesome game going on our group page.
It's like crack.
It's like 300 posts in like an hour.
Yeah, it's like crack. Absolute crack. Justin McCumber?
I am not on Facebook, so I am listening.
Well, he's off now because I had to go over and smack him.
He gave me the evil eye.
Mm-hmm, the evil eye. The stink eye. And Brian Williams.
Hey, what? You got the link for that? I want to play.
The Facebook group is in the show notes.
Yeah. Facebook.com. Go to facebook.com/groups/The
Hollywood Outsider. There you go.
When did we start that?
About an hour ago, literally.
Well, the game an hour ago.
No, I meant the group, not the game.
The group.
Like a couple months ago. Way to keep up, Brian. Brian, always support the show.
I don't read the emails.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, we know.
You don't read Facebook either, apparently.
I don't. You know, he doesn't read the format either.
Is it the trailer park yet?
Remember to review us on iTunes and thumbs up us on Stitcher, as well as share the episode with your friends. We appreciate it. Let's talk about Liam Neeson.
What? Let's talk about you and me.
Let's talk about all the good things
and the bad. Sorry.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson has talked about how do you say it?
Ra's al Ghul.
I always would not want to say the S.
You're the comic book guy. How do I know that?
I'm not the comic book guy. These two are the comic book guys.
You're much more comic book guy than I am.
I'm not I have a thesaurus comic book guy.
You have a favorite comic book character. Scott does not.
Thank you. I've read some of them.
Thank you. He was backing me up.
Yeah. That's how dumb you are.
That doesn't make me a comic book guy.
The whole point is you are more of a comic book guy than Scott is. You actually had a comic book collection.
I've never read a comic book.
Ever?
I think I read like one of the Dark Horse Star Wars ones once. But
now we know why you hate them. Mm-hmm.
It's because he's playing video games like a child.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Why don't you grow up and read comic
grow
books?
Grow up.
Like a man.
Grow up and read comic books.
Okay, Liam Neeson has said, this is more an anecdote, it's not really news, but he said in an interview that he'd be willing to do Ra's al Ghul for TV's Arrow in a heartbeat. And I want to know, I really don't think that could happen, because I'm sure that there's some reason why it couldn't happen.
They can't afford him, can they? I mean, as popular as that show is, it's not making that
I'm
much.
I'm sure he's not cheap, you know, he's not doing it for Skittles or anything. Skittles. Do you guys want to see this? Would you want to see him? Because
That would be awesome, yes.
Absolutely, I want to see that.
Do you think he might be too heavy for a TV show? Maybe too good?
Maybe too distracting or something?
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe. He's Liam Neeson.
Yeah. Doesn't make me not want to see it. I might actually go back and start getting caught back up on Arrow.
Arrow's a great show.
I just never bought him as this major kind of behind the scenes type villain kind of guy that he was. He just wasn't convincing to me as the character that he's supposed to be. I don't know a whole lot about the comic book character. But from what I do know, he didn't portray him very well. And he's got that in the first one, he had that cheesy little fake goatee thing. That
Fu Manchu-ish.
Like, yeah,
and
but
it looked
like
a Van Dyke
it looked like a 13. Yeah, they called it like a, you know, it was like a 13-year-old that grew it or something. It just looks all wispy and.
It's just, like what Aaron looks like when he tries to grow a mustache for real.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Is it that pathetic?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
It's like, hey, you got a little schmutz on your on your beneath your nose there.
Did you take a shower today?
Yeah, everybody's.
Yeah, why? Because your mouth is just dirty. What's that crap all over it? Oh, I'm trying to grow a beard. Okay.
Hey, I have feeling.
On topic.
I have feeling. Continue.
I like Liam Neeson a lot. You know, we all do. I thought he did Ra's al Ghul, you know, well. For the type of character they were going for in Batman Begins. And I think it would be fun for him to be on the show. I think it would increase awareness of the show. I think it would raise its stock with a lot of people who maybe just haven't watched it yet because they think it's a silly version of the comic book and haven't given it a chance, having him in this role might cause those people to give the show another look. And if that were the case, that's all to the good.
It'll be interesting. I really don't know if they could do that. Because they've said they want to keep those worlds separate, TV and film.
Right.
That would be quite the
connection. That's probably why they would not do it. Yeah. I don't think it would be money. I think he would be willing to take a pay cut to redo the role. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, hurting for money. The guy's doing a movie a week, it seems.
Yeah, he's okay.
But wait a minute. Isn't the Flash TV show, that's not going to have anything to do with the movies, you're saying?
Correct.
It'll have to do with Arrow, but not with the movies.
Right. It'll be in Arrow's world. It won't be in the Justice League of the film world.
So if they use a Flash in the Justice League,
it'll be a completely different Flash. That's what they're saying, yes.
Yes.
I was going to say, I think it's important to mention, we've been talking a lot about this topic, that there's no evidence of this actually happening. This is just Liam Neeson saying, I'd be willing to do it if they talk to me about it.
Yeah, it's
no one has talked to him about it.
Let's talk about a real story. How about The Rock confirmed he is, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but he finally confirmed who he's going to play, and he is going to be Black Adam in Shazam. Are you guys happy now that he's committed to playing a villain?
I think it's interesting that he's going to be playing a villain. I just wish I knew who Black Adam was. I went to Wikipedia to look this character up, and I still can't tell heads or tails of who this guy is.
He's Adam, and I assume he's black. I don't know.
Well, first off, he ain't black. I don't know why he's called Adam. He looks like a bizarro version of Shazam. And, you know, of course, with comic books, you're going to get a convoluted timeline for these characters because they've been around for forever. And that's what's making it hard to find out who this Black Adam is. Are they going with pre-52 era DC stuff? Are they going with post, pre-crisis, post? I don't fucking know. I don't know who this character is. All I know is he looks like Shazam, just with black instead of white, and black's in his name. I wish I knew who he's going to be playing.
Well, then
somebody explain this to me.
I think he's going to be more of an anti-hero than an outright villain.
Why do you say that?
Because I think that's what the report said a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Right. Not because I know exactly who the character is and what he's all about. I know he had something to do with ancient Egypt and everything.
Yeah, something about that, yeah.
So
Shazam, he's playing a villain, though.
Shazam is just not a known character as far as I'm concerned. I don't know many people that are big on comic books that are huge fans of Shazam.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know they're touting it because it's The Rock, but I don't know anybody that's really that excited about it. Other than the fact that, hey, The Rock's playing a villain. There's nothing else that really does much for me personally as a film.
He should play Lobo.
What's that?
He should play Lobo. That dude's a big hulking beast.
That's a DC property?
Yes.
Gotcha. We did talk to Michael Jai White from Falcon Rising. That's the new movie, and Justin's going to review it a little later. But the interview is officially up on iTunes and Stitcher. Be sure to check that out. It was a really good interview. Very nice guy. Right, Justin? Did you like?
I did. He was very pleasant to talk to.
Even dropped a very, very small hint about Black Dynamite.
Just said, fans of the movie should be expecting something.
Or the whole point was to drop that hint so they would actually go listen to it and hear it for themselves.
We'll explain what a tease is later, Justin.
Y'all can all bite my nuts.
Can we just talk? Is everybody over this whole fappening thing? Like, is it a done thing now? I mean, if we decided that celebrities, even if
you
they're
celebrities, worship the ground that Jennifer Lawrence walks on,
I absolutely.
So the
do.
Question is to you: Are you done with this thing?
I am. You want me to tell you why? I will tell you why.
Four hours later,
I'm spent.
I am so tired.
Nothing left in the tank.
So tired. Now, obviously, I'm a guy. I love the girl. So, of course, the first thing I did was, where's my internet connection? But after sitting on it and then seeing reports and then you start thinking about it, and I've got a daughter and everything else, the conscience starts working again, you know, because all the blood had left.
When can I expect that?
In your refractory period, you're like, maybe I shouldn't.
Yes. For you guys personally, I mean, I know everybody had their laughs and whatnot. Do you think this is something that should be criminally prosecuted? I mean, this is really a violation of somebody's absolute privacy.
I don't see how you could argue it wouldn't, honestly. I don't.
There are people arguing it that says it's okay because it's a celebrity. They were stupid enough to take pictures of themselves.
No, because you have to, it's not like they accidentally posted it on some message board or let some a-hole have access to one of their things. These are things that they either deleted or that other people had on their phone that they might have sent it to and then maybe broke up with later, whatever, you know, and then they, you know, if you've got naked pictures of somebody famous, I mean, are you really going to delete them off your phone?
People who think that's okay are the same people who don't mind downloading pirated movies and music because, well, it's out there. I might as well. But, you know, the thing is these people purposefully hacked their accounts.
Right.
And downloaded this information online. This was not something that these celebrities put out there. You know, unlike Kim Kardashian, who couldn't wait for everybody to see her getting boned so she could have a career, these were done against the will of the people whose pictures. And so it is a criminal offense, and they should be charged for it. I do, though, think that if you are a celebrity in these modern times, you know, knowing is half the battle. And I think by now you should know these things might happen. So protect yourself, maybe by not taking the pictures.
And here's my parting thought. I want to know what you guys think. She is young. She's 24. But she is already an Oscar-winning actress. She's extremely well-respected in her industry as well as by the public. But do you think this is going to hurt her career?
No, not at all.
I don't think so either.
Because it's not – she didn't release this. You know, it's – something that somebody went to some very extreme measures to retrieve. It shouldn't. I hope it doesn't. But
if she was getting hardcore drilled by a team of hobos, then maybe. Okay, but that's not. They were just nude photos, and they weren't all that nude. So no, I don't think this will affect her career at all. They showed her chest and her behind, but nothing
have you seen the
south
updates?
Of the border. No, I have not been keeping up with updates. I'm sorry, Brian.
Because I've seen some.
I may be behind.
I'm just Brian is getting a Google alert every hour.
Text alert. It text alerts, emails, sirens.
Flares are going off.
Flares, bat signals are shot up in the air.
You know who's?
I think her career.
You know who's really pissed about this whole story? Is whoever made the movie Sex Tape that this didn't happen about 3 months ago. Because that would have made that movie a lot more popular.
Oh, yeah. You know, that would have played into it a bit. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but it didn't. And the movie still sucked. So it didn't matter.
It wouldn't have mattered. That movie could have been as terrible as it is. And it would have sold a lot more tickets if this story had been going on at that time. I guarantee it.
Well, our final DC story of the night is Netflix snapped up VOD rights, video on demand rights, for Gotham before the series even airs. I think it's like 1.7 million, 1.75 million is what they're speculating in an episode. Justin, are you kind of surprised by that? Because it hasn't even shown if people are going to watch it yet.
No, I'm not surprised by it. Batman and by extension Gotham is a huge property. The early buzz on Gotham has been really positive. And with this continued build of superhero properties and associated properties, it's almost a no-brainer that Gotham is going to be a successful, very successful show. So the fact that they would want to swoop in and get the rights to this as quickly as they could to have exclusive video-on-demand rights, I think it's a smart move on Netflix's part. And I think you'll be seeing more of this type of thing of trying to get those exclusivity deals for these properties as soon as you can snatch them up.
And the way I read it was they are getting it starting in 2015. They'll be getting the rights soon after the episode airs, right? Am I reading that right?
No, the way I read it is that the season will be released on VOD several weeks before the new show premieres, the new season, giving its viewers enough time to watch the show before the second season starts.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't like it.
Why? Why, Mr. I don't want cable?
Because he's Scott.
Actually, I'm getting cable back tomorrow, so.
Yeah, and you've done nothing but bitch about it. So.
I have. It's so expensive. I don't like it.
Why are you getting it back?
Football.
Ah.
Football's always worth the price, Justin.
Gotcha. I guess.
I don't like this because I think it's going to start a trend and we're going to see exclusivity with lots of TV shows. I can't afford all the services. It makes me mad.
You're the cheapest man on the planet.
Dude, there are so many services.
You would buy every video game known to man. But you don't want to spend the $8 for Hulu Plus and the other $8 for Netflix.
I have both. I have both Netflix and Hulu Plus, but I'm saying that if it stays to those two, that's fine. But you know that's not going to happen. There's going to be
Amazon Prime.
There's all this kind of stuff. And Redbox, I don't want to have Redbox. I don't want to have to own every single freaking streaming service to be able to watch an older show. And I'm sorry, I'm not gonna buy a TV show on DVD because I will watch a TV show once and never watch it again.
I agree with you.
I just hate the fact that they release these series about two, three weeks before the next season starts. I wanted to have time to barrel through it. Maybe I'm in the middle of another series. Release it 2-3 months before where you got plenty of time.
Thank you.
It reminds people that, oh yeah, that show is still around. So you, during that little period, you pick it up, you go, oh yeah, let me watch that. So then you spend the next 3 weeks catching up, 4 weeks catching up. Then you've only got like a 2 or 3 week wait before the next season starts. Now you're amped for it. It's still fresh in your brain. Instead of going, oh my God, I'm busy. Now I'm down to about a week and a half to barrel through 25 episodes. And now I've got to, okay, geez, now I'm starting next season.
Maybe you should marathon it a little better, man. Pick up your pace. Stop slacking.
He's too busy looking at the internet.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. Stop checking your Google alerts.
Frapping or fapping or whatever.
Frapping. He's making coffee?
Brian's making coffee with Jennifer Lawrence pictures.
Remember not to accept anything to drink from you ever.
Yeah. Chips. Chips is going to motor its way to the big screen. Punch and Baker, right again. Brought to you by who, Brian?
Mr. Kristen Bell.
Is that his name now? Dax Shepard's going by Mr. Kristen Bell?
Dax Shepard. He's, otherwise known as the most unfunny, funny guy in Hollywood.
I liked his movie, Hit and Run. So I will defend him.
He just doesn't make me laugh, even when he's trying to be funny. Anyway, he's writing, directing, and even starring in this remake of Chips. Michael Pena apparently is playing the role of Ponch. John. Whatever.
No, he's playing Ponch.
Ponch, yeah.
So, Ponch is the Hispanic one.
Yeah.
Hence the name.
Is Ponch a Hispanic?
Is that short for Poncho or what?
Yeah, Poncho would be Hispanic.
I don't know.
So, Justin's just assuming he understands Hispanic culture.
What do you guys think about this? This is not something that necessarily appeals to me. I don't really care about a couple of cops riding around on motorcycles in L.A.
Chips is one of the worst shows that was ever on television.
I've never seen it. I've heard it referenced in movies, but
it's cheap. I like Eric Estrada, horrible actor, but I like him because he seemed like a nice guy. And when he would do interviews and stuff, he seemed very affable, and I liked him. And then I'd watch the show, and I'd be like, "Wow, that was really dumb." Like everything that happened.
You know what the best thing about Chips was?
The end.
Yeah. The end, exactly. Yep. Not because it was over, but because they would have the credits and they would have some like laughing scene or some little scene for a couple of seconds and then it would just freeze.
Yeah.
And they were all, yeah.
Yeah. It's like our show. Nobody likes listening to all the other shit. They just want to listen to outtakes. That's all it is. Same with Chips.
I would love to hear from our listeners how many actually, like, before the episode starts, just automatically scroll to the end to listen to the outtakes first and then go and watch the episode.
Probably. More. I do.
Yeah. Brian, you don't listen at all. You're not fooling anybody.
He listens to just the outtakes. He doesn't listen.
I'm like, what shit did he cut out and what did he leave in?
Well, do we know? Are they going to go like the Starsky and Hutch route where they just turned it into a straight out comedy? Or are they actually going to try and do an actual, California Highway Patrol movie where it's serious and shit? I'm hoping they're going to go more for the comedy route because Chips was a pretty crap show. Yeah. So I don't need another crap movie. At least try and be funny with it.
If they're putting Dax Shepard at the helm, I'm pretty sure it's going for comedy.
Well,
I mean, he's still going for comedy. So
no, man, Parenthood, he's legit. Like,
yeah, I liked Hit and Run. Hit and Run was a fun movie. You can kiss my ass. I like that movie.
Yeah, but that still had comedy in it.
That's an all-day job.
It was a comedy movie.
That's what I'm saying. He's in Parenthood playing a totally straight-up drama. He's not funny.
Is that
in
a drama?
Show.
I thought that was a comedy.
No, you're thinking of. You're thinking of Family, Modern Family.
No, I was thinking of Parenthood, and I just thought it was a comedy. It's a drama show?
Parenthood
not
the, is totally
not
drama.
The Steve Martin movie.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I just assumed it was a comedy. All right.
No, not
I've
at
never
all.
Seen it. I've never seen it.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
You should listen to me. I talked about
they
it.
You should make it like Bad Boys style.
All I know is one of my favorite bands got their name from Chips. That's all I know.
Who's that?
Seven Mary Three.
I don't know who that is.
Seven Mary Three, Cumbersome?
That was Cumbersome.
Oh, okay.
All yeah, right. That was Pontius' call sign, Seven Mary Three.
Not a music guy.
I love Seven Mary Three. I didn't know you were a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Vaughn is going to star in another movie. That's right. They're giving him more chances to come back. And it's called The Politician. Scott, what is The Politician about?
Well, they didn't give a whole lot of details about this, but I'm guessing because it's got Vince Vaughn, it's a comedy. And from the premise, it sounds like it's going to be a comedy. Basically, he's this rundown, sleazy politician that is...
Governor.
Mm-hmm. On the run from the FBI and a bunch of drug dealers.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And that's all the information they gave us. I'm sorry, this sounds really dumb. It
really does sound dumb.
I'm sorry, even in a comedy, I don't buy Vince Vaughn as a politician.
Are you kidding me? He's fast-talking bullshit artist? I can totally buy him as a politician. I think he is a politician. I'd vote for him. Run for Illinois governor.
Maybe it's because I've seen him in too many other movies that, like, if I saw him, I'd be like, there's no way.
I actually thought it sounded kind of funny.
Really?
Yeah. I like Vince Vaughn. You know, for every internship crap, there's, you know, a dozen other movies that he was actually genuinely funny in. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt this early on.
I absolutely love Vince Vaughn. I make no apologies for it. I love the man, but I haven't seen him do very well in the last few years. He's right. Made some questionable choices at best.
And to be straight, I hope I'm wrong. I really want to like this movie. It's so early on. We haven't seen a trailer. We haven't seen even a screenshot or anything other than that, just like two-line premise. And on the surface, it just seems really dumb to me. I hope it's good.
If they go the midnight run route, I would be all into it, where they have like an action, drama, comedy, you know, kind of a mesh. But if they go for the straight comedy, yeah, I've seen this before. This sounds like one of those 80s and 90s, oh, they're in a bunch of hijinks now. You know, it sounds like one of those films. It just doesn't sound like the movie that's going to bring him back to stardom to me. But you never know. Maybe they'll show Owen Wilson in some cameo. Lev Grossman's The Magicians is going to be adapted for television by Sci-Fi. And I don't know anything about this at all, Justin. What is The Magicians?
Well, The Magicians is a book written by... where did his name go? I just had it. Sorry, you just said it too. Magicians is a book written by Lev Grossman. I think there's been two books following it. Some friends that I know that have read it have kind of compared it to a more mature Harry Potter, but set in New York. And in the synopsis they gave here in the article, it says that it's that the magician centers on 20-somethings who study magic in New York and discover that the magical fantasy world they read about as kids is real and that it poses a grave danger to humanity. I have not read the book. It's actually on my Kindle. I want to read it and will, but I haven't yet. I've heard nothing but good things about the books, so I'm hopeful. But this is sci-fi, so the hopeful is really kind of, yeah, it's thin. It's very thin.
I would say sci-fi is really trying, it feels like they're trying to come back with their television properties, the TV series. Because I've heard Defiance has really kicked it up a notch. Some of the other shows, Ascension? Looks like it's going to be a good show. It really seems like they're trying to make better choices in terms of their TV shows. More Battlestar Galactica, unless... Sharknado or Sharktopus or whatever the hell those things are.
Yeah. I'd see that one. I'm still unsure about sci-fi. I mean, I love Battlestar, but I have not seen another show that I haven't given Defiance or Ascension a chance, but what's the one? Is Ascension the one? What's
it hasn't
the one?
Come out yet. It comes out in like November.
The one where it's like they travel, like they leave Earth and it's all about living on the spaceship as they're leaving. Is that the one?
I believe
yeah.
so, yeah.
Yeah, that one looks really cool, but yeah. Again, it's not out yet. I like the premise of this, though. Like Justin said, I thought modern day or adult Harry Potter when I read the premise of this. I think it sounds pretty cool. I just don't know if sci-fi is the right place for it. It seems more fantasy than sci-fi.
Well, guys, don't forget to listen to our 2014 Summer Movie Ho Awards episode. I know it was a little late last week, so some of you might not have even known that it came out, but it is out, so be sure to check that out. We talk about all of our favorite things from the summer, as well as some of the things we did not like so much.
It was a really fun episode, too, even though it gave me a creepy deja vu feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Even though it felt like we've been there, done that 2 days in a row.
Live, die, repeat, that whole thing.
Exactly. Live, die, repeat. Welcome to Brian's Trailer Park.
All right, well, finally there's a sequel to the surprise hit Monsters. That was about a couple traveling through Central America to try to get back into the U.S. while trying to avoid these giant monsters that were basically being contained in Central America. So anyway, the sequel is called Monsters Dark Continent, which follows a military group sitting into a hot zone to retrieve a rogue agent. And basically it looks like Europe is kind of turned into a kind of a holding pen for these aliens. Or are they, Scott?
I don't know the mystery you're talking about. I must have missed that from the trailer, but I actually did see the original Monsters. I saw it on video on demand years ago.
Wasn't it like a $40 movie?
That's, I mean, it was very... that's the thing, is I feel so sleazy saying this about that movie because I liked it. But it's one of those that in the back of my mind, I'm always going, this is good considering the budget.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying.
And I always wanted to see what that guy would do with a bigger budget, and I didn't love Godzilla. I liked the spectacle in the last 40 minutes, like you mentioned last week, but I didn't love it. This movie, the effects look way better, but the thing that's missing that I loved about the first one is the mystery. That's what was so cool, is like you only saw little bits, or they slowly revealed this monster.
Yeah, they're
to
just
you.
Slapping it all out there.
And this
it.
Is like the opening shot of this is, oh, they're here now. I mean, obviously it's a sequel, so the mystery's no longer there for the audience, but leave some mystery a little bit, at least. Maybe they do at the beginning, I don't know. To me, the film looks like a cross between Cloverfield and Battle of Los Angeles.
Yes.
And I didn't like Battle of Los Angeles as much as I wanted to, and to me, the appeal of Cloverfield was that mystery, the unknown, the things that they didn't show you. Mm-hmm. This is way much more in your face. But you guys know I love disaster movies, so I have to see it.
It's required by law.
Pretty much. Law. What about you? What'd you think of it?
I like the same thing. I like the first one, but I'm very much of the mindset that I know how much this thing cost. Mm-hmm. You know, and in my mind as I'm watching it, the whole time I'm watching it, I'll forgive things because I know they didn't have much money. You know, and maybe you should do that, maybe you shouldn't do that. That's your personal perspective. I personally can do that if the movie is still involving, and I thought that movie was actually very involving. So I was fine with it. This one seems more like things I've seen before, mm-hmm. where I felt like Monsters was taking more chances because they had to shoot it different because they didn't have the money. Mm-hmm. So you didn't get to see everything, which made the movie better, I thought.
Right.
So I'm with you. I think they show too much, but I will see it as well. It looks interesting. I don't know if it looks good yet.
Well, next up is Jon Stewart's directorial debut. And yes, that Jon Stewart from The Daily Show. He apparently took a few months off last year to go over to Jordan to film a movie called Rosewater. And it's taken from the memoir of a London journalist who was kidnapped and held hostage for around, what was it, like 118 days, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And just tortured, all kinds of interrogated, because basically... what he did was film he was covering the election that they were having, and I guess was a little bit critical of it. So some their version of the Men in Black type of stuff came hunting him down and and got him. So what'd you think about this, Justin? I mean, especially coming from Jon Stewart.
Well, you know, I was really impressed with what I saw. Part of this guy's story is that he was interviewed by one of the Daily Show's correspondents. I don't remember the guy's name, who it was, but in the interview, the correspondent started it off by saying that he was a spy, the correspondent. And so please give me some information about this area. Of course, a complete joke. Everybody who watched it and who knew these people knew this was a joke, but they used that as one of the excuses to accuse this reporter of being a spy and giving information to spies. And so maybe Jon Stewart felt a certain amount of personal responsibility, but he took the book that was written, adapted it for the screen, and made this film. And it looks like a very well done film. I'm shocked that a first time director would make a movie that looks this amazing. I don't know who he had around him to help out, but it looks good. I'm not usually for this kind of movie, but given who was involved in it, I actually am interested in seeing this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This looked just very compelling, and especially this guy's, you know, just kind of watching this guy's mental state, kind of basically not letting them break him down. And, you know, hey, you want to lock me in the little room for a little bit? Fine, I'll dance around. I'll have a good time. You're not going to break me. And that was awesome to see.
And it was Jason Jones, by the way. That was the Daily Show correspondent who interviewed him.
Okay.
And Scott posed a question. Do you guys think this movie is more Oscar bait than, or is it being told in a manner that you don't think it's Oscar bait? It's just well told.
I totally think it's Oscar bait. I think subject material, the quality of it, and Jon Stewart is loved by just about everybody. Those three things combined, totally.
You know, I got to disagree. If it was anyone else doing the movie, if this was Angelina Jolie doing it, I would totally see it as kind of an Oscar bait film. But I think for Stewart, there is a very personal reason for doing this film, for why he took this person's book and made it into a movie. I think for him, there is more to it than just, I want to make a movie, and so let's do this. And, oh, wait, this could also get me an Oscar. I think it's too personal for it to be just that.
Monsters, Dark Continent opens up later this year, November 28th, and Rosewater opens November 7th. So a couple of good movies there in November, which is usually not usually a whole lot going on that month.
What? Are you kidding me? November's like November, December, hopping.
Yeah, I know, but that's always at the end of November. It just, it kind of goes into December.
All right.
Y'all can watch these trailers and those from recent episodes at thehollywoodoutsider.com. If you got anything you want to tell us, you can reach us at Twitter at @H_Outsider. Like us on Facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Join our group on there. Lots of good fun and shenanigans. And apparently some very addictive games. So email us at feedback@TheHollywoodOutsider.com.
All right, folks. Well, this week we have got two movies that we're going to be talking about, both of them opening up on September 12th. The first one, No Good Deed. We talked about this one fairly recently. It stars Idris Elba and Leslie Bibb and Tarja P. Henson. Terry is a devoted wife and mother of two, living an ideal suburban life in Atlanta when Colin, played by Elba, a charming but dangerous escaped convict, shows up at her door claiming car trouble. She offers her phone to him, but soon learns that no good deed goes unpunished as she finds herself fighting for survival when he invades her home and terrorizes her family. Brian, Idris Elba is an actor that I like quite a bit. I think all of us here like him. Mm-hmm. But in this one, he's playing, it looks like, a very bad man. How you feel about that?
Kind of like it. It shows his range. I mean, he's good in, he was really good in the show Luther on BBC America.
Oh, I love Luther. Yeah, good show.
He's, you know, so he's got a little bit of an edge there. You know, he's in, as far as our most people recognize him in the mainstream movies, he's really more of a kind of a supporting character. But I think this is an interesting twist for him. And I guess the basic plot itself looks pretty cookie cutter. But this is something, this is going to probably sound worse than, but anyway, I like the fact that this is a primarily black cast, because this is cookie cutter white people type movie. And mm-hmm. This is what we've said before, that
is a Pacific Heights or something.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's an unlawful entry, and of course I picked
right
the one.
Yeah, exactly. It's been done a million times, but it's always white family being attacked by a crazy white guy. I just think it's kind of good to see this kind of movie.
You're glad that black people are being terrorized.
What somebody said. I'm gonna back you up, Brian, because I'm being totally sincere here. I never even considered that possibility or that concept until he just now said it. You know, I've mentioned before on the shows that I get annoyed when we see an all African-American cast, and it's just like thrown in your face that this is an all African-American cast. I didn't even pay attention to that when I saw this. All I saw was a trailer that, to me, the best word I can use to describe this trailer is edgy. It looked absolutely edgy to me. Idris Elba looks like a BAMF in this, and I cannot wait to see this. He looks so badass.
Idris Elba would look like a BAMF in an Old Spice commercial. Probably. I'm just saying. He's just
look at me. Look at
exactly. He's just that good.
The tickets are now diamonds.
He's just that good, man. He is just that good. I agree with you. I didn't even think about that either. Obsessed is another one. I actually liked Obsessed, but it's all because of Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just one of those actors that for me, I will go see a movie he's in, even if I think the plot is ridiculous or cheesy, because I think he has weight and character to carry a role, to raise a movie because of the role he's playing.
And so, if he can bring to this what he brought to The Wire as Stringer Bell, then I think it'll definitely be a hit.
I really like how they've kind of left it a little open as to why he's... Because the trailer, it seems very random that he ends up at her house, right? I mean, it seems very random, but I think
he does have car trouble.
He does, but I have to think there's more to it than just that. I have to think that the trailer is being not giving something away.
And which to me, that's what makes a good trailer.
I really hope, unless we're wrong and it's really just car trouble, in which case, that's not as cool. But I really get that vibe, and it's something I really want to see. I really want to check out.
I'm with you.
All right. Well, next up, you're going to... People, prepare yourselves for a bunch of sighs.
Not me.
Dolphin Dale 2.
Sorry, Dolphin Dale?
Dolphin Tale 2. Woo! This one stars a cavalcade of stars. First off, Morgan Freeman, what are you doing in this fucking film? Ashley Judd, Harry Connick Jr., Nathan Gamble, Kris Kristofferson. A team of people who saved Winter's life reassemble in the wake of her surrogate mother's passing in order to find her a companion so she can remain at the Clearwater Marine Hospital. And she's got a fake tail? Oh, my God!
Let me ask you a question.
I'm sorry. To me, this is one of those films that just... It might as well be called Velveeta because it has just got cheese. It looks pandering, and if I were a parent, I'd feel like, really, this is what you think my family wants to see, is this just complete Lifetime looking dreck. Someone tell me why I'm wrong. And Aaron, it sounds like that's going to be you. So go.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you actually see Dolphin Tale?
No, because I had no interest in seeing a kid's movie about a dolphin that lost a tail.
Then let me ask you a question. Why are you shitting all over it when you know nothing about it?
Because from the quality of the production and the acting that I see in the trailer, it looks like something that took very little heart and soul to make. It looks like paint by numbers, heart pulling kind of animal movie. I think it's a little insulting.
But yet
pandering
hang
shit.
On, hang on. But yet when I say, or actually everyone I've ever talked to except you, say Jupiter Ascending looks like dog shit because of the trailer, that's not fair. That's making an assumption because you wait and see the movie. But you haven't actually seen the movie.
Well, I also know the track record of the people who made it, and for me, their track record's exemplary.
So Morgan Freeman doesn't have a good track record?
He's got some good, he's got some bad. Normally he's good, and as I said, why the fuck is he in this movie?
Well,
he's got to pay a bill, I guess.
I'm just saying, I actually did see Dolphin Tale. It was a very sweet movie, it wasn't too cheesy, it was very well told, it was a family film, that's what it was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be something ridiculously... involving. It doesn't
have to be involving. Just, I don't know. It just,
you keep
me,
knocking it and you didn't see it. I'm taking that as an offense, man, because you didn't see it and you're still knocking it. Even though I've said you didn't see it and you're still like insisting on knocking it. I don't get why.
Well,
I actually saw it and liked it.
Can I interject?
Yeah.
I didn't see the first one either. I don't think the first one looked like a bad movie. I think it looked like a movie that I didn't have any interest in seeing because I'm not a big, you know, animal movie and let's feel sorry for the animals movie. I think the trailer for this one looks super cheesy.
I think it looks like it's very pandering to an audience and it's very paint by numbers, but that's just my opinion. But I didn't see the first and I haven't spoken to the first.
I don't know how you make a sequel to it because, I mean, he got a tail at the end. So I don't know what more there is to tell.
Dolphin retail.
a retailing. Mm-hmm. I will definitely see it with my daughter because we saw the first one, but I don't really get too excited about it because I really don't know where the story's going to go. That said, I was a fan of the first movie, so I'm hoping they can at least live up to that.
He's going to lose his tail at the end.
What a horrible, shitty ending that would be.
Or get caught in a dolphin, in a tuna net.
Like, it just rips off the fake mechanical tail at the very end.
Was the first one based on any kind of, you know, true story? Or
I think it was.
Inspired
yes,
by
it was, yes.
somewhat true events, at least?
Mm-hmm. It was.
Okay.
He winds up at SeaWorld at the end.
And depressed.
No, he's got a tail at the end. It was very sweet.
Waiting to kill his trainer.
Very sweet.
I'm glad. And hey, if you enjoyed the first one, you want to see this one, that's great. I'm just telling you, that was my opinion. Based on the trailer, it just looked cheesy. And thank you, Scott, for at least backing that part up.
Sorry, you just have no soul. Let's just get down to it. You've got no soul at all.
The day Aaron has more soul and heart than I do, the day I should just be put away.
I think I have quite a bit more heart than you do, but that's okay. We can debate that all day. We can debate it.
I got more soul than both of you.
You do. You really do.
You got Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got James Brown kind of soul.
Got to try your little tenderness.
Wow. That's wow. Commitments, which I'd rather watch.
Why did he just karaoke?
Karaoke?
I know.
You did not.
I corrected myself. It does not stand if I correct myself immediately.
Is there a number of seconds rule before it doesn't stand?
It's Aaron time. It's like bullet time, but dumber.
That's true.
It's like Men in Black time.
All right, folks. Two films, September 12th, No Good Deed, Dolphin's Tale. Which one are you heading out to a theater to see? Brian?
Just to piss you off, Dolphin Tale.
Fantastic. Scotty?
No Good Deed.
Aaron?
Dolphin Tale 2.
I'm going to go see Good Deed. There we go.
I'm going to have a Dolphin Tale marathon.
Two movies.
Oh, he's going to watch them repeatedly on a loop.
Yep.
Extended edition.
Then he'll watch Free Willy just because it's,
just,
you know, yep. Killer whales.
Hey, Free Willy is a great movie. Free Willy is great. You can't knock Free Willy, ever.
The one with the Michael Jackson song.
Exactly.
Going over.
Exactly. It got a whale to jump over a dude. I don't know if that's possible, but it looked fantastic. And it had Michael Madsen in it. How do you
killer whales are actually dolphins. They're not whales.
Do you know the whole time? Who knows? Who gives a shit? The whole time I was watching that
movie.
Did
you see Planet of the Monkeys?
Ignorant fox.
The whole time I watched that movie, I kept waiting for Michael Madsen to kill somebody. Just waiting.
What, cut off one of its flippers?
We deserve what that dolphin's going to do to us.
Like, they just start playing the song, and dun, 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 dun. He just walks up to Willie.
Back in the middle with you.
Oh, it's a great song. Box office. Oh, the puns have returned. I marvel at the fact that in its fifth week, Guardians of the Galaxy retook first place with $17 million for a $275 million total. Biggest movie of the year, we called it last year. We let you know last week. So there you go. And Justin,
I've seen it three times.
I want to come back and I want to tell you, because I was convinced he's so full of shit. But I went back and listened, and you actually did have, you were very hopeful for the movie, both of our previous episodes where we were talking about summer films.
Scott, do you need to dive over there and catch him as he chokes on that?
No, unlike some people, I can admit when I'm wrong.
Oh fucking please. Oh, God. Ooh, that's just, yeah. I'm muting my mic right now. I'm muting. Goodbye.
The Ninja Turtles Karate Chopped another $12 million for $162.5 million total.
Which Ninja Turtles? The Teenage Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, the Ninja Turtles. What, I got to say the whole
the
damn
other Ninja Turtle
thing? I got to say the whole damn thing? If I Stay still hasn't gone away as it landed in third place with $9.3 million for a $30 million total. As Above, So Below did a little bit more below as it opened with only $8.6 million.
Is that more than Sin City did on opening?
Yeah, it was more than Sin City 2.
Wow.
Sin City 2 is not even on this list.
Holy cow, it's not.
I also found out while re-listening to those episodes that, Justin, you picked Sin City 2 as one of your three most anticipated summer films as well.
And I didn't go see it.
Wow. You didn't go see it. I was very disappointed in you.
Damn.
But don't.
I gotta write that stuff down.
Apparently, you weren't alone. So you don't have to write it down, Justin. You can actually go back and hit play. And there it is. Lastly, the November Man came a little too early as it opened with a dismal $7.9 million.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Poor Brosnan. I bet he wishes they'd put Bond in the title.
That movie looked way better than $7.9 million.
It didn't make... Apparently, America thought different.
Mm. It'll probably do really well in rentals. Yep. It's just one of those movies I think most people are content to wait for.
They'll probably still release it in October. For DVD or December or something.
The Last the Month Man. Yep.
They're going to rush it into DVD so it can be out in November.
Exactly.
That would probably be a good call, actually.
There's a Hispanic film called Cantinflas. I said Chinese. Cantinflas. Which opened at $2.6 million on less than 400 theaters. I make no puns on Hispanic movies because I have Hispanic in-laws and they will cut you. So
yeah, I have a Hispanic family. So. Yep.
They cut you. They will cut you like a fish.
What's this movie?
What's this movie? Each week we play ours or a listener suggested clip from a movie. And if you think, I can't believe I said that in Chinese. If you think you know what the clip is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. And next week we'll give you a proper host shout out. Last week's answer was Justin's, and it was Eurotrip.
With the best song ever in that movie, by the way.
It really was. And you know what?
Vondeklumps!
Scotty just doesn't know. He doesn't know.
I
do want to tell you a story. Scott, at his wedding, I actually asked him several times if he would play Scotty Doesn't Know.
Did I say no?
Repeatedly.
Really?
Steph wouldn't be cool with that. I'm like, but it's so funny. Steph wouldn't be cool with it.
Dude, yeah, I don't know if that would have gone over really well at a wedding.
I don't know if you want your grandma maybe listening to the lyrics and going, Scotty doesn't know that I'm doing her in the driveway.
Yeah, I thought it would be funny. I was going to ask Steph to dance and everything.
Just start grinding on her.
Those that got it correct, Joe Montemurro. I'm sorry, Joe. John Davenport and Amy Hutchinson. Fantastic.
Amy Hutchinson.
I will say every name in Chinese now. And this week it is Scott's turn. So here we go. Here's your clip for Scott Clark. I'm sorry, Chinese listeners.
Oh my God. We are getting racist in this bitch.
Pride! Pride!
Right.
Power!
Power! And I see
a badass mother who
won't take no crap off of nobody.
Again!
I see pride.
Can I hear you?
I see power. I see a badass mother who won't take no crap off of nobody.
Once again!
I see pride!
Junior!
I see power! I see a badass mother who won't take no crap off of nobody!
That's right!
Right! Junior Bevil!
Wait, what are you doing?
All right, now if you know what that clip is, we sure don't, so I hope you guys guess it. Send that in. Now let's go to reviews where we review any new releases. Justin, you just saw Michael Jai White, who we just interviewed. His new film, Falcon Rising. What is Falcon Rising about?
Falcon Rising is an action movie that's directed by Ernie Barbaresh, and it co-stars Neil McDonough. How do you say his name? McDonough. Laila Ali. That's about the last of the names I recognize. In the film, Michael Jai White plays John Falcon Chapman, Falcon being his nickname from when he was in the Marines, has to go to Brazil because his sister, while they're doing humanitarian work, was viciously attacked, left for dead. And so he has to go to Sao Paulo, Brazil, so that he can kick some fool's asses for fucking with his family. I wrote a review for it. It's on the website if you want to see that. It's a movie that plays very much like an 80s action film. In that there's no wire work, there's no CG stuff. Yeah, he's there to kick ass, and he kicks a lot of ass. No stunt, car chases. It's direct. The reason you watch this film is to watch him fight other people. And for that and in that, it is very well done. The dude is huge. And he is fast. So fast, it's incredible that a guy that muscle-bound can move it that quickly, but he does, and it's really impressive to watch him do what he does. The acting, it's there. Nobody's winning any Oscars, but the locations are really pretty. It was all done down in South America, looks great, sounds great. The fights are what you're there to watch, and all those fights are good. It doesn't overstay its welcome, so it's not too long. I gave it a 7 out of 10, but with that understanding that this is a 80s-type action film. If you like those sorts of films, and if you like Michael Jai White, I really recommend you see this because he is in top form in this movie, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. They're hoping to turn this into a franchise, so we'll see if that happens.
I would really like to see more. I really would. He's such a good fighter. Such a good fighter.
He's amazing to watch.
He is.
I think he could beat the shit out of, like, Wesley Snipes.
Oh, I think Wesley Snipes would be just going back to his trailer crying. You can have Blade. I don't want it anymore. And he should be Blade.
I'm a bitch.
He should be Blade. I think that voice saying... What's that?
What about Black Panther?
Hell yeah.
Oh, Black Panther. Do it. Oh, crap. We said we wouldn't talk about comic books anymore. Brian, you fucked everything up again.
Once again.
All right, well, go see Falcon Rising and also... Rising. I said it all. Hey, go see Falcon Rising.
Falcon Rising.
And also...
Southern Chinese now.
Go see Falcon Rising.
Fucking Rising.
And also... God, somebody's writing a letter. And also, be sure to listen to the interview. He's a very nice guy.
You hear all those clicks?
Let's go.
It's unsubscribing.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
I hope not.
No. We're going to get people that hate China. They're going to subscribe. Americans. All right. Let's go to Blu-ray and VOD.
All right. We're looking at releases on September 9th. We've got 3 on disc and 1 on video on demand. First up is Captain America, The Winter Soldier. If you don't know the premise of this movie, you must not have listened to this podcast
in the
past few months. We did talk about it over on episode 137, where Brian gave it an 850, Aaron gave it an 850, and Justin gave it a perfect $10 out of $10.
I've watched it twice since I got on VOD. It is still awesome as shit.
Yeah, that's one I would like to watch again on a home theater. Second up, we got a movie called Brick Mansions.
Way to sell it. That's one I'd like to watch again.
Yeah, I'd like to watch it sometime on my home theater.
Brick Mansions. This is actually starring Paul Walker. Is this his last one?
It's not his last one, but it's one of his last ones.
Okay. An undercover Detroit cop navigates a dangerous neighborhood that's surrounded by a containment wall with the help of an ex-con in order to bring down a crime lord and his plot to devastate the entire city. Super original.
It's sad because you want to make fun of it, but you can't.
I know.
There's a time limit, and I don't know what that is.
When the fuck have you ever cared about making fun of somebody dead?
I like Paul Walker.
I mean, you're making Robin Williams jokes the day he died.
I did not. I didn't make Robin Williams jokes. I made other people.
Richard Attenborough jokes.
Yeah,
that's right. Richard Attenborough.
I made a Richard Attenborough.
Yeah, because life didn't find a way too soon.
Seriously, life did not find a way. Go ahead.
Last on disc, we've got the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which you can now get on Blu-ray or DVD. And on video on demand, there's a movie called Fed Up, which is a documentary. It's an examination of America's obesity epidemic and the food industry's role in aggravating it. I actually looked into this one a little bit. It looks really interesting.
It looks really good.
And
very,
very
interesting.
I think I might check that one out, actually. All right, with that, we'll move on to our flashback segment this week. And I was actually given the opportunity of talking about an older or obscure film. This is where I want... you guys listening, as well as those at the table, to give a movie a shot. And the movie I chose this week is called The Brass Teapot. This is a comedy that stars Juno Temple. It's totally a quirky comedy that I found way more entertaining than my explanation can give it justice. But bear with me. Alice and John are both extremely poor. I'm talking ramen noodle poor, right?
I've been that poor.
Right? Me too. Now, they're at an antique store, and Alice eyes this brass teapot, and she gets it in her mind that she wants it so badly, and she steals it. So they take it home.
Because she's a criminal.
She's a criminal.
All right.
I mean, it's an antique shop. You're talking like a little tiny...
Stealing, Scott.
Yes. The couple slowly realize that the teapot has magical properties that makes it dispense cash whenever the couple sustains any kind of physical pain.
Whoa.
Yes.
I like where this is going.
No, and that's not going that way.
Well, that's where it would go by, Alice.
The greater the pain, the greater the pain, the greater amount... of money that magically appears out of this teapot. The hilarity comes in seeing how far the two of them will go to keep the cash flowing, because you kind of get the idea that they have to do something more and more severe or drastic in order to keep this thing happening. It sounds super silly because it kind of is, but It's a heartwarming kind of silly that I dare you not to keep from smiling while watching it. Also, it's the first time I've ever seen that I remember seeing Juno Temple in a movie. She is adorably charming to watch from beginning to end in this movie, and she's got just the right amount of quirkiness without going too overboard, in my opinion. I think it's worth checking out.
What's that?
It gets a little dark around the middle,
yeah,
to the end, because, man, the shit they'd start doing.
Mm, yeah, it does get a little dark, but it is streaming on Netflix, so if you've already got Netflix, you can watch it without paying anything extra. I'd love to hear from any of our listeners that have seen it, or we'll see it after this recommendation. It's one of those like great Sunday afternoon movies, at least when football's not on, so that's my recommendation.
I want to check it out.
I recommend it as well.
Well, now it's definitely a must-see, if Justin's approving it. As long as it's not heartwarming.
Screw you.
Yeah, God forbid it's got a fucking dolphin in it.
Exactly.
Luckily, no dolphins in sight.
Huh. Well, maybe if they cut the dolphin's tail off to get more cash out of this thing, then Justin will be
out. That would have been awesome.
Let's go to our From the Outside In topic, where this week we're talking about fall TV. Now, some people have said, you don't talk about TV enough. You're a film and TV podcast. So we're trying to get more TV topics, and every year we talk about the fall television. But I got to tell you, it is not the same as it was even when we started the show. TV is just not the same. I think when we even started the show...
It's color now.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have to get up and turn that dial.
It's amazing. I remember when I had the remote with a cord attached to it. Remember that?
Get out of town.
Yes.
Oh, man, long time ago, yeah.
Is that when they called them clickers?
Because
they did click.
They did click. Well, TV used to be where the fall season would show up and only the networks would have new TV shows. Then cable started having stuff. Now we have stuff year-round. But they still have the fall TV season. That really hasn't changed, even with cable. But it is modified, so it's a different kind of animal. So for you, Justin, do you think you could start us off? Do you think fall TV is exciting as it used to be, especially with all the options on cable throughout the year?
No, it did used to be something special. I remember being a kid, and my grandmother had a subscription to the TV Guide. And so every time the fall season would come around, I couldn't wait to get that TV Guide and see what the new shows were, because that was when everything new came out. The summer was just a frickin' drought of repeats and crap that they wouldn't have thrown up during the regular season. So it was really just, you couldn't wait for the new stuff. Now, you know, between the online streaming services introducing things at different times of the year and mid-season replacement shows, they're constantly introducing new shows. So there's not that feel of how it used to be. But like you said, it is still the big premiere season. So it's kind of got a little of it, but not nearly what it used to be. It's not nearly as glorious.
I don't have a whole lot to base it on. I never really paid attention to the seasons of TV growing up or even before doing this podcast.
You were in a closet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. But I don't have any basis for it. I mean, it's more exciting now for me because I'm actually paying more attention to it. And fall has become like that time where it's starting to get cold and I'd rather be inside, you know, than like, you know, we eat dinner outside and stuff like that. And I just don't do that during the fall when it starts to get chilly. So I'm inside sitting in front of the TV eating dinner or, you know, rather be inside than outside doing some activity. So that's when
still
like
still hot as balls down here.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's why you guys are inside air conditioning.
Right.
Do you guys think that cable TV has taken the shine off of fall TV from the networks? And in terms of people just don't care anymore because they're more interested in what cable has to offer than what networks are throwing out.
Well, I mean, you've got we've got so many different channels, and of course we didn't 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's just we're getting more and more channels. And if you wait till September, October to release new shows, it's just not going to work. I mean, you've got too many people trying to get four people to walk through one little door at the same time. Somebody ain't going through. So somebody's not going to be watching their shows. What do? You find another slot at another time during the year. You know, it's one of those things I still look at fall as being kind of the starting point for a season. You know, I'm doing the rabbit ears that nobody can see right now, but I still look at that as kind of being the kickoff point for a new season or the beginning of a show. But there's just too many cable shows, and now we've got, you know, these online services that are creating their new shows. There's just too much out there. It's just going to be blurred at this point if it's not already.
It's hard because I could tell you 5 years ago, a couple years ago, if you asked people what shows are you looking forward to in the fall, almost everybody I knew could answer at least a couple. Mm-hmm. Now nobody seems to know. You know, they'll mention the returning one, like Walking Dead, Sons of Anarchy, stuff they know. But new shows, they hardly know. I don't know anybody that I've asked that really had a couple shows right off the top of their head without having to go look it up. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a reflection of people don't watch commercials anymore. And people basically just watch the shows that they know, and they know when they're going to be on. I think it's really hard for a new show to break out anymore.
Well, and to Brian's point, shows are coming out, it seems like, all the time. So there's shows that I want to watch, but I don't know when they're starting. And by the time I find out, they're like extant. I had no fucking idea when that show was starting. And all of a sudden, I'm finding out it's on its third episode or something. At least when it used to be just the networks and just fall, you know, you had a very narrow range of channels and time that these shows are going to be starting. Now it's just constantly every other week there's a new show premiering on some channel.
I think DVR has a lot to do with that too, because, you know, back in the day you had to rely on primetime slots for television shows. Mm-hmm. You know, Sunday nights, when was that ever a good idea? Until recently, you know what I mean? Now people can watch their show whenever they want to because they can record it and then have their Thursday night that they get caught up on all their shows from the week if they don't have time. And because of that, there's so much more coming out, and it's kind of diluted the market, so to speak.
I will say it's a great problem to have.
Oh, yeah.
For the longest time, there's maybe like 3 shows on that I wanted to watch. And now, I mean, every week, oh, I gotta watch my shows. Mm-hmm. And people are constantly throwing new shows out on really obscure networks that I've never even heard of. Did you see that new show on DirecTV? I don't have DirecTV. Well, it's a great show. Now I got to find it. You know? now suddenly I got to find a way. How am I going to afford another $8 for another service like you're so worried about? Mm-hmm. And I find it because it's necessary. Necessary evil. Well, let's get into some of our favorites. And I know some of us, you know, might have had to look for them. But we're going to talk about some of the new shows that we want to see. And we're going to go 3-2-1, our number 3 picks, then our number 2, and then our number 1. And hopefully nobody will repeat. So if somebody else picks one that you wanted, just, you know, mention, you can agree with them, I really want to see that, and then just pick something else. So let's try to make it 12 shows so that people have some diversity. You guys know our different...
Shit, if I'd have known that, I'd have taken better notes.
Yeah, me too. I didn't have any honorable mentions because I get my hands slapped.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. I got backups.
Yep.
Let's go with number 3. Scotty, you go first. What is your number 3 most anticipated show?
Mine is actually a 2-part miniseries, so it's almost cheating because there's only 2 episodes and it's already started airing.
Justin.
Houdini. It's got Adrian Brody playing the escape artist. I'm really interested to see it, even though it's not like procedural. It's History Channel. It's already out. It came out on the 1st, but I'm really intrigued to see it. When I get cable back, I plan on giving it a watch. So,
all right,
just out of pure curiosity.
Yeah, I actually caught a few minutes of it. It was on last night or the night before, something like that, and I actually caught a couple of minutes of it. It looks like it's well made, much like the Hatfield and McCoys. I mean, it's a quality piece. I haven't sat down and watched it, but I'll definitely probably set the DVR, record it, and watch it at a later date.
Cool.
What's your number 3, Brian?
My number 3 is going to be something that has been just, I guess I'm finally brainwashed after all the advertisements for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Scorpion on CBS.
What is the appeal of this show? Because tell me what it's about. Honestly, I hear a lot of people talking about it because of the trailer.
It's a bunch of nerds that are basically being brought together by some government agent, and they solve world problems. And apparently it's actually based on the experiences of a legitimate genius called Walter O'Brien. So there is some truth in it. And I've heard this reference like 3 different times. They're calling it like the Justice League. If instead of superpowers, they got super smarts, and it's also got a Big Bang Theory-esque type of twist. So I don't know. I've seen it. They're just, they're ham. If you watch anything at all on CBS, you have just been bombarded with advertisements for this. So they're really hyping this thing. They've got some, there is some positive buzz about it. So I'll give it a shot.
I'm with you, actually. You guys know I'm a big fan of the Big Bang Theory, but this, I see the parallels with this, but I also see how it's quite a bit different from the Big Bang Theory, because the Big Bang Theory is focusing solely on the quirkiness of those characters and because how they are socially awkward and this kind of thing. This, you got a little bit of that, but this is more like, hey, it's a bunch of nerds doing something really awesome, really good, and it's kind of straying a little away from the stereotypes. I'm on board. I can't wait to see it.
When does that come out, Brian?
That actually comes out September 22nd.
All right. My number three is Madam Secretary. It is Tia Leone, stars as a retired CIA analyst who's brought in to replace the Secretary of State when he inexplicably dies. And she's brought in by the president himself. And, of course, it's the whole meshing with the current administration and trying to handle foreign affairs and dealing with the stresses that come with that job. It also stars Keith Carradine, Tim Daly, and Bebe Neuwirth, who was on Cheers. If you ever watch Cheers, she's a fantastic actress.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out on September 18th. It is on CBS, which does make me leery because it's CBS. But I love political shows. I'm a big fan of anything that tries to tackle politics and does it in a realistic or interesting way. And it seems like it's going for that. There was a Gina Davis show a couple years back, Commander in Chief, I think it was called, which started off really good and then it got really soap opery. So I'm hoping this avoids that pitfall and stays along the course of politics and, you know, what's going on in the country today. I would love to see a show that tackles that with integrity and respect. So that's why I want to see it. Justin?
You guys know I'm not a big comedy fan. Most of the shows I watch are scripted serial episodic shows. But there is one comedy coming out that I am really interested in seeing, and it's called Selfie. Mm. It's on ABC, and it's going to be starting on September 30th. And I'm interested primarily because of the two leads in it. Karen Gillan.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Gillan from Doctor Who. And it's also got John Cho, who we used to call Stretchy Neck McGee, over on Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow.
But the premise for it is that Karen Gillan drops her adorable Scottish accent to star in this modern spin on Pygmalion that takes place in today's social media-driven world. Gillan's Eliza Dooley is obsessed with becoming internet famous, but her constant Instagramming and Facebooking has left her devoid of any real friends, not to mention the social skills required to make any. Desperate to make a fix, she hires marketer Henry Higginbotham, played by John Cho, to help her rebuild her image and put down her damn phone for once. It sounds cute. I love those two actors. You know, after talking with you guys, I need a little laugh. So,
oh wow,
I'll pick a comedy.
Ouch! Right?
Ouch!
Ouch!
Stuck a burn on the end.
All right, number two, Scott. What's your number two?
Mine's a little show on NBC called A to Z. It's a half comedy, half love story. Really, it stars, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name, but it's the girl that plays the mother on How I Met Your Mother. Is the female love interest?
Okay.
And then the guy that plays Andrew is from Mad Men, which I've never seen, so I can't compare. But this looks really cool. It's also narrated by Katie Siegel, which is very apparent just from the very get-go of the trailer. It's called A to Z because it basically tells the story of
Kristen Milioti and Ben Feldman.
Yes, it tells the story of their relationship from beginning to end. That's the A to Z. And it's like a comedy without the laugh track. It's not a sitcom by any means, but it looks very funny, very charming. It's got a pretty serious tone with it. I will say, if this sounds at all interesting to you, do not watch the trailer. It's like a 2 or 3 minute trailer, and if that's the entire season that they're giving away, I'm really bummed. Even if it's just one episode, they just gave away some really big plot points that I really wish I would have seen firsthand instead.
You said a half comedy, half drama is what it looks
right.
like?
Right. It's a little quirky, but it's very sweet, like super sweet, and not in a too sweet kind of way. Like we were talking about, what movie were we talking about? Like you guys used the word saccharine sweet? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that kind. It's very genuinely sweet, and it looks really appealing for me. I'm very excited to see it.
When's that come out?
What network? It comes out October 2nd on NBC.
Okay. Brian, number two.
Number two. I can't get enough of zombies, so I'm going to give Siffy's Z Nation a shot.
Jeez, that looks so right on the line. Like,
I know.
What is it about? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, let's see. It's got Lost Harold Perrineau in it, so it's got to be great, right?
Right. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be absolutely fantastic.
What is it about?
Well, it's a group of survivors trying to save humanity, blah, 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 in the wake of a zombie apocalypse. They're trying to escort the only person that's unaffected by the zombie plague from New York to California. Of course, they're on the complete other side of the country from where they got to be. But apparently there's some sort of lab that hopes to turn his blood into a vaccine. But I guess there is also some kind of a dark secret that involves his blood, too. So I'm going to give it a shot. I'm actually going to keep an open mind with this. I don't have much faith in sci-fi series, but I do agree with you that they are making changes for the good. So I want to see how good this is.
Sounds like The Walking Last of Us.
Yes.
Hopefully it kind of, you know, satisfies my zombie urge in between seasons of Walking Dead. So, but anyway, it does start September 12th.
All right, my number two is Grace Point, which comes out October 2nd on Fox, and it stars David Tennant, who's playing the same character he did in the British series Broadchurch. This is a remake of Broadchurch, but he's playing the same character, and this time he's paired with Anna Gunn from Breaking Bad, and they're investigating the death of a young boy. Now, if you ever saw Broadchurch, it is a great series. Has anybody seen it?
No, I knew of it, but I haven't seen
it. It's really a great series. It's not just a murder mystery. There's a lot more going on. It's 10 episodes is what their first season is. I love David Tennant. I never saw him as Doctor Who, but I love David Tennant. He's a very good actor. Hey, I didn't. What do you want me to do? The fact that he's attached and they brought Anna Gunn in, I already know that there's two powerhouses involved. David Tennant's already proven that he can do this character. So the fact that they're doing it, it's a 10-episode season. I think the mystery for this will be wrapped up by that 10th episode. I'm so looking forward to it. It just looks so good.
And that's two shows we talked about that are starring former Doctor Who cast members, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. And Justin, number two.
You know, I've got to hit up Constantine for my number two. It's, you know, it is going to be on NBC. So it probably won't be as dark as the comic book was, and it'll be premiering on October 24th, just in time for Halloween. But I think, given the right talent behind the camera and in front of it, this could still be a hit. And this is one of those properties that I've always been a fan of, but never really invested too much into. So this will be my chance to maybe finally learn something new about the character. But for those who don't know, it's based on a DC Comics series called Hellblazer, and Welsh actor Matt Ryan stars as John Constantine, who is a seasoned demon hunter and master of the occult. He abandoned his campaign against evil after failing to save a young girl's soul from hell. However, he's pulled back into the fight when the balance between good and evil somehow winds up on the line, and an angel named Manny, played by Lost's Harold Perrineau,
What?
Tells him to man up and get his act together. True Detective's Charles Halford also stars. Yeah, can't wait to see it.
I saw the pilot, and it's very well done. So it's something to look up to.
Look up to?
Yeah, look up to. Look forward to.
Like a big brother?
Yep. Constantine is somebody you want to definitely look up to. Scott, what's your number one?
Well, calling it my number one is not fair because my actual number one was Taken, so I had to scramble to come up with another one really quick. But I came across this show while prepping for tonight's episode that kind of intrigued me, and I don't want to give off the bad impression for being excited.
What was your number one
this.
That was Taken?
I'm curious. Scorpion. Scorpion was my number one.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
There's this Showtime show called The Affair that's coming out that I think looks really interesting. It's a Showtime show, premieres on October 12th. And it's basically telling about two different stories of infidelity, but they're told from two different perspectives, one from the man's perspective and one from the woman's perspective in each different relationship. And
like of the couple or?
No. Like two different couples. So one story, it's the guy of the story of the guy that's cheating on his wife, and in the other story, it's the story of the woman that's cheating on her husband.
Gotcha. Men don't cheat. This is already BS.
Okay.
So
sounds interesting.
So it's going to go back and forth and just kind of see how it affects those relationships, obviously. And there's most of the actors I don't recognize, but I know Joshua Jackson's in it. He's actually one of the ones that is being cheated on by his wife. So
what? They're cheating on the guy from Dawson's Creek?
Yeah.
I don't want to wait. Or from Fringe.
Fringe.
Yeah, yep. Whatever that show was.
So I don't want to give the wrong impression for being excited
about
the show.
Every woman's like, well, of course you want to watch it because you're a dude.
Yeah, I'm looking for tips.
You're a cheater.
Yep.
So, but it sounds intriguing. I think it looks really interesting. So, and it, being on Showtime, they're not going to hold anything back probably. So
I saw the trailer. It does look interesting. Mm-hmm. Don't they have a show like this on USA already? Like Satisfaction or something where it's similar plot where they have a couple cheating spouses and whatnot?
I'm not familiar.
That's USA. Nobody's familiar.
I really doubt Hollywood would recycle an idea.
This is true. This is true. Brian, what's your number one?
My number one is... I got to go with Gotham. I just kind of like this expansion of the Batman universe, so to speak. And we see Jim Gordon, we always see him as the old grizzled guy with the big white mustache and the big old glasses. It's kind of nice to see a little bit about him. And, of course, they're going to work in younger versions of some of the people that grow up to be the villains, such as the Penguin, the Riddler, Catwoman, Poison Ivy, stuff like that. The trailers have been... the commercials have been pretty teasery. Mm-hmm. They'll show fast scenes, but then it's loaded with little Easter eggs. So it's been pretty neat. Donald Logue is in it. He's veteran TV and movie guy, that redheaded guy that you see quite a bit. He was recently in Sons of Anarchy and even Vikings. Ben McKenzie stars as Commissioner Gordon. I've seen him in a couple episodes of Southland. Didn't watch the OC, so I don't really know him from that. But
very intense actor. He reminds me of a young Russell Crowe.
I can see that. But yeah, looking forward to it. Looks like they're taking it serious, and they're actually trying to do something with quality. So
looking forward to it. I hope Fox
September 22nd. Sorry.
Okay, on Fox. I'm really hoping they don't cancel it four episodes in and give that show a chance to play. Because seems like it's going to be one of those that has to find its footing.
Right. Hopefully they've done enough marketing for it, leading up to it. So hopefully it's drawing a little bit of, anticipation.
My number one is Blackish. It comes out on September 24th and it stars Anthony Anderson. And I'm not big on comedies, especially, half hour your typical comedies that are on TV. I like Modern Family because it's unique. It tries to take a real approach to telling suburban lifestyles. That kind of comedy I liked. I like Big Bang Theory when it first started, especially because, it was a little bit more cutting edge, and a little bit more of intelligent humor versus just fart jokes and that sort of thing. Blackish is Anthony Anderson is a guy who I find funny, but I've never seen him really as a leading man type. And he's a dad who finds out that his kids are a little too whitewashed and they sound like white kids. So he starts forcing African-American culture back into their lives. And it just, if you go watch the trailer, it looks really funny. And we haven't had a show that was like, that had biting humor in a long time. So I'm willing to give anything a chance if it's going to take a stab at being a little bit irreverent. Because I'm sick of safe comedy, and it feels like that's all that's on TV. Modern Family is a little bit more irreverent, but it also plays it safe. This looks like it's going to be a little bit more cutting edge, so I really want to check it out. ABC on September 24th.
Yeah, that does look funny.
Doesn't it?
And it's good to see Lawrence Fishburne doing some kind of comedic role instead of the serious stuff he's been doing for the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, he plays Anthony Anderson's grandpa. Or dad, his dad.
Anthony Anderson's hysterical.
He is. And, man, I don't know how
I'm going to be able to see Hannibal and see Lawrence Fishburne in that, and then go watch this and see him play some crazy grandpa. But that's what he's going to do. And it looks so really good.
He's in Hannibal?
Yeah. Lawrence Fishburne is, yeah.
Wow. He's probably going to die.
Probably. Spoiler alert. Justin, what's your number one?
I'm a dick.
This will probably won't be a surprise to anybody, but The Flash. This is going to be it's a spinoff from Arrow, which I love it when shows spin off other shows. I don't know why. It's a rarity in television, but I'm looking forward to seeing this. It stars Grant Gustin as Barry Allen, who becomes the fastest man alive after an explosion at the Star Labs particle accelerator bestows him with superhuman speed. It's supposed to be a little more lighthearted than Arrow, which is cool because Arrow is a pretty dark, gritty show. It's a superhero show. I know a lot of people are getting sick of superhero stuff, but the show looks quality. I like what I've seen so far. And if this gives me a on the CW, two shows to watch, both this and Arrow, that's fine by me. And it premieres October 7th.
Didn't you see the pilot?
I did see the pilot, yeah. It's good. Yeah. I was actually surprised. I watched it twice and still enjoyed it. So definitely has a Smallville vibe, though. It's not as dark as Arrow is. No. But
and Flash, I like Smallville, so.
Yeah, and Flash is a happier hero. He's not meant to be dark and brooding. So I'm glad that they actually.
Hey, he's the Flash, not the Fizzle.
Exactly. And because you guys are all giddy, you can have one honorable mention. But you got to be really quick and one sentence or less. Scott?
No, that's it.
Nothing? Brian, nothing?
You didn't? Yeah, I'll tell you what. There is one in looking this stuff up. I did come across something that I haven't heard anything about, but it does look funny.
Okay.
And it is, it's on Adult Swim. It's called Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories.
Okay.
They're calling it, it's like Twilight Zone, but on shrooms. Wow. Bedtime stories will tell 15-minute tales of weirdness as only Tim and Eric can.
All right. I really want to see Stalker as well. October 1st on CBS.
I love how we can have honorable mentions when Aaron needs one.
Maggie Q.
Yeah.
Hey, I threw it all out to you. It's not my fault you weren't ready for it.
Remember, it's your show.
Maggie Q and Dylan McDermott are part of a task force trying to take care of stalkers. It's really like a SVU kind of show, but I like those. Those are fun to watch.
And well, since they didn't take it, I'll take another one. Utopia. Okay. It's a little social experiment type thing. They put about 15, 16 people out in this little area where they, of course, they're all different, come from different backgrounds, and they live together for a year and see how they evolve.
Is this a reality show?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh Lord.
They've already fired one of the people that's on it.
I don't follow reality shows. You let me know how it turns out.
What's the difference between
me to talk about reality shows every now and then?
Maybe if it had a dolphin in it.
Yeah, there you go.
What's the difference between that and Survivor? I'm honest question. I'm trying. I don't.
No. Well, Survivor, they're on there together for like 39 days, and they're doing, I guess, constant, you know, they're doing different
challenges,
games and challenges and that kind of stuff. This is actually, they're actually spending an entire year building their own society. They've got their own rules. It's almost like Lord of the Flies type of thing. You know, will it be kind of a democracy? Will it just be kind of ruled by one person? Will they allow religion? Will they not? You know, will they, I guess, hunt animals, where they just kind of eat vegetables, whatever. So, of course, there's going to be a lot of drama and everything, but it's weird. I mean, think about signing up for a show. Like, okay, I want to sign up for this reality show, and I've got to put my life on hold for a year. Not just a few months, but a year. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, you pay me enough, and I have no problem with it.
September 7th on Fox.
Now, what are your top two remaining returning shows? And Brian, you can just read both of them at the same time.
The Walking Dead, number one. The way that the last season ended was just absolutely phenomenal. This first episode of this season could not get here any fast enough. And also is Boardwalk Empire. It's the last season. kind of want to see. It's supposed to take place 7 years after the last season. So they're going to be tying everything up, I guess, how it kind of correlates with history and that kind of stuff. So we'll see the demise of characters like Nucky Thompson and Al Capone, stuff like that.
Okay. I'm excited most for Sons of Anarchy last season. It's starting September 9th on FX. I just want to see how it plays out. I really want to see
everybody dies.
Hey, they said that they're only, they actually said how many of the club are going to die. That's what Kurt Sutter said. I'm not going to say how many.
Yeah, but, don't even say how many.
But yeah, so I really want to see how that plays out. And also, I'm going to save the other one. I'll not mention that one. I will say Resurrection on September 28th. I just started watching that show, and it is such a nice, sweet show, but also has a heavy mythology involved. And there's a lot of supernatural or something going on, but it's a very hopeful show. I really like where it was going when it ended. It only had like an 8-episode run. So I'm really looking forward to that one coming back. September 28th on ABC. Justin?
The first one is American Horror Story Freak Show. I have loved American Horror Story every season. I love that it's an anthology. I think with each season, the cast gets better. It gets stronger. And this season, it's going to continue with Jessica Lange and Kathy Bates. Angela Bassett will also continue on. Michael Chiklis is also joining the show. I think a freak show is just about the best venue for this kind of show to surround itself with on TV. It starts October 8th, and I really cannot wait to see this one.
I just don't see the draw of these shows. I've watched the last two seasons, and I want to just stab my eyes with ice picks.
Well, you fit right in with the show then. I'm with Justin. I this wasn't one of my picks, but I love the one season that I did watch. I could not stop watching it, and I haven't gone back to it, but I plan to. And can I say that creepiest intro music to any show I've ever listened to.
Oh, yeah.
It's disturbing imagery and sound, just like for that when we're doing the opening credits.
I always keep meaning to watch, because I know I can just watch any season. That's like one of the cool things about that show, right? Yeah. I don't have to watch from the start. I can just throw in a season.
Yeah, I started with like season 3, I think.
Yeah, but I've just never gotten around to it. I keep meaning to. So somebody's going to have to tell me whatever the best of the three is so far. Is it three? Yeah, three seasons. And I will watch whatever the best one is.
I think last season, Coven, is probably the best one they've done. The second season is so fucking weird. And they go off in these, you know, half of it you think it's a supernatural. And then all of a sudden it looks kind of UFO-y. It's kind of all over the map. But the third season is really good. And I thought the first season was strong.
Okay. The first season was strong. I agree with you about the second one. It was just, it's like, oh, God, this is... All right, cool. This is going a cool direction. Then it just stops. It doesn't even turn. It just just moves over a couple lanes and starts in a different direction. I just can't do it. I agree with you, Justin. I think this freak show setting is a fantastic idea for this type of show. I just don't get it. The third season. Look here. Everybody dies. Everybody gets brought back. That's like, it's frustrating because I want to like this thing so much and I just don't get into it. And I just don't even know if I'm going to give this season a shot after the grueling task of watching it last season. So I don't know.
Wow. Well, that's totally opposite opinions right there. All right.
I think Jessica Lange is eternally watchable. So
what's your other one?
I'm going to pass. My second show is Grimm. You know, I was going to go with Sleepy Hollow, but Grimm I have invested 3 seasons in, and I really can't wait to see where they take it this season. It starts on October 24th on NBC. It's a great show. I wish more people watched it. I don't know why they don't, but luckily it's doing well enough to keep getting new seasons. Mm-hmm. So, hey, that's great, and I look forward to it all every season.
Okay, Scott?
My first one's no surprise, Big Bang Theory. It's my new Friends. I love it. I love everything that comes out of that show. You stole my Sons of Anarchy, so I still actually have to watch last season. So, like Brian was saying...
Do you want to know how it ends?
Everybody dies.
I'll tell you right now. Yeah, everybody died last season. It was really bad.
I already know how it ends.
I couldn't believe Jax killed himself. It was awful.
I already know how it ends.
What, did somebody spoil it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you read an article.
You did.
I didn't spoil it. Nope.
Anyway, so
you click an article. I can't help what the internet does, man. I can't help it.
Oh, we'll have a talk about that off the air. But anyway, I had a backup though for this one. It's another comedy, but I was actually really surprised by this show. It's New Girl with Zooey Deschanel.
It's so good.
My wife has been watching it, and I've been listening to it.
About it. I've never seen it.
I am surprised at how much I am liking this show. It is really funny, and not in a trying too hard reach in. There are some legitimately funny situations, and the jokes and the timing and everything is really good. Zooey Deschanel is really cute. I'm loving it, and I'm looking forward to watching this season with her live. So,
okay. And lastly, pick one show that you were hoping wouldn't return, Justin.
I actually have six shows.
just pick one.
But they are all Real Housewives shows. Yes, there are currently six.
There's six of those?
Six: Atlanta, Beverly Hills, Miami, New York, New Jersey, and Orange County.
All right, you get six choices. It's fine.
What the fuck, people? I'm sorry. For me, I've always seen these types of shows as just deplorable. They celebrate the worst aspects of us, of our humanity. They drag it. People say they love to watch it because they just like the cattiness. But to me, what it does is it shows young girls and young people that, hey, if you're a shitheel and you act like a complete diva who's entitled, then we're going to put you on TV. So why don't you do that?
Exactly. I agree with you. And I hate
Fuck
when I agree
that
with
show.
You.
Yeah. All of them. All six.
That's like 40 people.
That's right.
Scott?
2.5 Men. I still don't understand.
I think it is, actually. It's in the last season, so you're
Thank
right.
Thank God. But what's it like? Is it like 12 or 13 seasons, I think? So
I know it's about 8 too long.
It's like a vampire. It just fucking needs to be staked.
It does.
I have tried to watch an episode of that show, and you guys know I love sitcoms. That one just feels like they're reading directly off the script.
I don't think it's funny at all.
I've never found it funny. I mean, some of the stuff is – there's one thing about being a – like a womanizer. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Barney Stinson and How I Met Your Mother pulls it off well because he's so
fantastic. He should have gotten his own show. Yeah.
Right. But what Charlie Sheen and now Ashton Kutcher is doing, I don't see the appeal. I wish I did. I'm so glad it's almost done.
I mean, I'm happy for John Cryer. Always seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it always
Maxwell
feels.
Maxwell Hauser.
Yeah, exactly. All I remember is Hiding Out, man. Hiding Out. That was a good movie. But the guy has. I mean, he's been the number two the entire run of the series. He still gets paid less than everybody else, but he's the only guy that's stuck around. I don't understand that. It always seems like he gets the short straw. And they don't even have the half a man on the fucking thing anymore. The kid went crazy and went, Jesus, he went and found Jeebus. And so he's not even on the show. So didn't they just call it Two Men? Two Men and This Guy's Bed?
Yeah, hey, it sounds a little gay for middle America.
Yeah, they can't handle it. Instead, let's make totally sexist jokes at women's expense. We'll do that instead. That's all they do. Brian, what show do you want gone?
This one kind of hurts a little bit because I do like the show. Mm-hmm. But I think the way that it ended this last season should just be the way that it just completely ends. I just think the whole premise of it is missing after this. But anyway, Homeland.
I agree with you. Yeah, good call.
I just think that the whole premise of this show is about a military guy, veteran who's been assumed dead for 8 years. He shows up and the mystery is he a double agent for Al-Qaeda or is he not? And
don't say how it plays out, but
no, I won't, but they've played it out for a couple of years and the way that it's ended is a good ending. And it just feels like, all right, you've got some actors who are popular and you just want to
stretch it out.
Mm-hmm. And it just feels weak.
Yeah. Well, doesn't she have more drinking to do?
Yeah. Yeah. More drinking and more hysterical fits. Yeah.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I think Claire Danes does hysterical fits better than anybody.
She makes Crazy Eyes better than Crazy Eyes on Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. I mean, to this point, when I see her on award shows, I'm waiting for her to freak out because she's that character for me. She's so neurotic and anxious and, oh, she's nutty.
I always remember Claire Danes being able to do the lip quiver cry better than anybody I ever saw.
Yeah, well, she does crazy, too. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But yeah, I agree with you, Brian. That was my runner-up. So,
woohoo!
Cool. Sabbatico. How do you spell it?
Woohoo!
Family Guy.
I don't know how you spell it.
Family Guy is my pick. It came back. I think it's great. We got a lot more jokes. It's done. Kill it. Just kill it. There's no more to suck out of that show. I mean, it's like they're trying to make it The Simpsons and, you know, drag it on forever. I just want one of these comedies to actually end while they're still kind of funny, as opposed to just sucking the very last drop of humor out of it.
Don't Seinfeld it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't Seinfeld it. All right, let's wrap this. Oh, wait, we got listeners' picks. Oh, we got a bunch of them. So we're going to go down and just ratchet through them. You got it? Ramp it up and ratchet through them. All right, and here are our listener comments, guys.
Kate Eastham. Eastham? He says Gotham.
David McGrath says Constantine, NCIS, New Orleans.
Craig Shermerhorn says Scorpion trailer, or Scorpion.
Robert John Davenport says Flash.
Sean McGuire says Gotham and Z Nation.
David Billups Jr. says Constantine.
Gotham's winning so far.
Scott Kilgaro also going with Gotham.
Steve Peterson also says Gotham, but he also says Flash for the CW.
Tyler Saver says Gotham.
Well, and Carlos Hernandez also says Gotham, so I think we know where our listeners are heading.
I think there's some Gotham action going on.
And lastly, Jason Taylor says Constantine, Grace Point, and maybe Z Nation.
Maybe? What is maybe Z Nation?
Well, he said he thinks the whole zombie thing has really started to play out. So.
It really is. It really is. But hey, this has the Lost guy in it, so it must be fantastic.
That's like that Park Avenue 666 show or whatever it was.
I like that show.
You put anything with Terry O'Quinn is death to TV. You put him in just about anything, and that show will not last.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure Lost was on for like six whole years.
Okay.
Hawaii Five-0, he was on that. Remember to like us on Facebook. Review us on iTunes. We will read your review on the show. I didn't have it prepared, so it'll be next week. It's 2 weeks in a row. I didn't have it prepared. I'm really apologetic. Those reviews we will have for next week, I promise. We've got one email. Justin?
From Justin McCamey, we've got, "Hey Hoes, great show. Keep it up. Funny, when you listen to radio or podcasts, they tend to put faces to the voice. And when you get a chance to see the real people, they are completely different."
Uh-oh.
So I wanted... yeah. Well, don't worry. I get shafted here. So I wanted to share
really?
My...
Oh,
really? Yeah. I think I got shafted. You guys seem to be... All right, Brian.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's go. So I wanted to share my mental picture of your personalities using celebrities I thought you sound like. Please take no offense. Thanks. This was meant for fun and what I pictured. Aaron, he gets Jake Johnson, who's on New Girl, and he's in that movie Let's Be Cops.
That's not the first time somebody said that, by the way. So apparently I sound cool and funny.
Who does he play on New Girl?
He's the bartender guy.
Nick.
No.
Nick?
Yes.
Yeah,
Nick. Yeah, he's a bartender. Brian gets Larry the Cable Guy.
That's pretty accurate.
Scott gets Jake Gyllenhaal.
Whoa.
Hey,
I'll take it.
You're wrong.
I'll take it.
You're so wrong. Maybe Maggie Gyllenhaal. That's more Scott.
And I get Jimmy Simpson, who you folks might remember from Breakout Kings and House of Cards. He's also on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where his character is like a just complete pervert.
Yep.
Oh, he's so ugly.
He thinks Justin sounds like a funny pedophile. That's what he's saying. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, if you watch House of Cards, he was the hacker that the government hired.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that guy.
Thanks.
Pretty spot on. Yep.
Continuing, he says, "Since I just wrecked my credibility, let me try to make it up to you guys. I have sent Aaron a movie to use the next time you do the hoe off. Hope I gave you guys a good run. I like this new game. Sick of buying popcorn. Switch to ice cream." Justin McCamey.
Oh, that's
ice fun. Cream at the theater? I guess.
They sell it.
Yeah.
They do.
They sell it.
Still, popcorn, it's tradition.
It is. I can't eat ice cream.
I don't know how I didn't get like Liam Hemsworth or...
I do.
You know.
We do.
See, Justin, here's how I look at it. They sound like these handsome guys, but then they see the picture and they're just totally let down. Mm-hmm. We sound like these, let's just be nice and say not as handsome fellas.
Speak for yourself.
But they look at the pictures and go, wow, these are some handsome chaps.
You sound like Larry the Cable Guy.
I wish that was true.
You know who I get all the time? Is the guy that plays Kevin on The League.
Really?
Yeah.
It's because you got to both have a giant head.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's why.
Hey, and that's starting why. Up its new season.
Mm. There you go. So remember to stay through the credits for outtakes. You can go to the website, thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can find Justin's review and our interview with Michael Jai White there, as well as our summer episode, which was, I thought, a really good show. Tweet us at @H_Outsider or facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. And if you have any thoughts on this episode or any topic ideas, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you do, or through our RSS feed. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Thanks to Justin, Brian, and Scott for being here. Is there anything anybody wants to plug?
I'm going to be interviewing the writer-director of Coherence tomorrow. Coherence was the film that I talked about last week that I thought was just a marvelous sci-fi horror film. So I'm really looking forward to talking with him about his career and about this movie. And it'll be out probably early next week.
I think I'm going to go drive my tractor down to the liquor store and maybe go to Walmart, see if I can find me some more flannel shirts to cut the sleeves off of.
You got to put a fish hook in your cap.
Just make sure you get her done.
Yeah, just make sure you get her done, man. Get her done.
And I'm still gaming. And if you like talking about gaming, hit us up on the Gaming Outsider, which is our spinoff Facebook page. It's a
Facebook group.
Excuse me. Yes, Facebook group, not Facebook page.
It's really different, and if people get confused trying to find them. So,
but yeah, we're at lots of good conversations over there if you like video games. So, give it a check it out.
And I just recorded my first Blacklist podcast with Troy Heinrichs, who helped Justin and I on the 24 podcast. We're doing that as like a little side project, and that turned out, I think, pretty well. That should be going up soon. And I was interviewed by another show, Timelines of Success, where I pretended to be successful.
Hmm.
Just kidding. Where I talked about the show and how it came to be and myself. Stuff that you guys don't care about. So
did you pimp my books?
I mentioned you were an author. Does that count? Something like that. I mentioned how last week, I think it was last week, you used my mom's almost death as an opportunity to sell your book. And also mentioned how there is no shame. There is no shame in Justin's game.
Mm-mm.
Oh, remember, guys, the next time you go to a theater, buy a popcorn.
And still water.
And ice cream.
Forever unclean.
Get her done.
Fucktards. So you're drinking your sweet tea out of your Roll Tide glass?
Yeah. I think you got me this glass, didn't you?
Probably, if it's awesome. Is it awesome?
That's why they call the Baltimore Ravens the Ravens.
Because of Edgar Allan Poe?
Yep.
Did not know that.
Yep.
I even
That's
knew
where
that.
Edgar Allan Poe lived, was in Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed they had a shitload of Ravens.
Three out of four hoes know that. Fucking dimwit.
Okay, somebody did a fucking line. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys ready? I don't know what the fuck is going on either. I'm with you. You and I, we simpatico.
You got me, Brian.
Spell it.
Coba? C-U-B-A.
No, simpatico. Spell it.
Oh, S-Y-M.
Nope.
Are you guys ready?
That's a blast from the past right there.
I haven't heard that one in a while. Fuck off.
Got the worst run of of unknown jokes that just being thrown out there.
That's why I always talk. Hey guys, you ready for this podcast? I don't know. Is the peanut butter in the bathtub?
What?
I brought the poodle. Slap me some bacon. Let's get this thing started.